Q102.
Duck season.
Waka 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 waka. Hey, you're a great crowd. Thank you, and thank you. Hey, waka waka. Waka waka waka.
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
You're on the line with Frickin' Comedy, brought to you by the Blue Room Comedy Club. Visit blueroomcomedyclub.com for schedules and contact information. And now, Frickin' Comedy.
Kenny DeForest, my oldest and dearest friend, how are you?
I'm good, Doug. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Long time no talk.
Yeah, how you been?
I've been pretty good, you know, splitting time between radio and comedy. So, you know, tired.
Yeah, that'll happen for sure, man. How long have you been back in Springfield now?
In Springfield, I've been back for a little over a year. In the area, I've been back for about 4 years. I spent a little time doing a radio gig in Houston, Missouri for about 3 years.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was fine, you know. If you like country music stations that don't have running water, it's awesome.
That's hilarious. That's where you're working, huh?
The outhouse radio. Yeah, that's what brought me back from California.
Wow.
You know, sometimes you just gotta take the. I started looking at the long game, and doing the grind in Los Angeles was fine, and I enjoyed it, and I in a lot of ways wish I still was doing it, but I felt like having a day job that paid, you know, entertainment day job that paid the bills so I could do the comedy at night was the way to go about things. So this seemed like a career, so I jumped aboard.
Yeah, totally, man. Absolutely.
Absolutely. How about you? How have things been for you?
I'm good, man. Still plugging away up here in New York, and still got a day job and all that, but we're making it work.
You know, I mean, don't we all, right?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
That's
so,
true.
You've been up. How long have you been in New York? Like 5 years now? 6 years?
5 years. Yep.
5 years sounds good. Now, but you, for those listening who don't know who you are originally from this area. Yes.
Yes, sir. Born and raised in Springfield.
Absolutely. What high school?
Kickapoo.
There we go. That's the true test, right? In town?
Yeah. I'm a fear the poo kid.
There you go. Well, right on. So comedy's been going good. That's not a question. That's an observation. Comedy's been going good for you.
Thank you, buddy.
Absolutely. You're going to be in town this weekend. This is being released next Monday. So you're going to be in town this weekend, and you're going to be at the Blue Room.
Yes, sir. I love that place, man. I'm so excited to be back. I've been doing this Thanksgiving weekend show for the past 4 or 5 years now. Maybe even longer than that. But yeah, every Thanksgiving weekend, I come back and do the club, and you know it's cool. A lot of my friends that have moved on from the area are back to see their families, and obviously my sons that still live in the area are around, and you know it's just a chance for a big old reunion.
Well, speaking of friends who've moved on, anybody you want to give a shout out to?
Oh man!
And make sure anybody, because they'll be furious.
They'll be so upset. One of my best friends from growing up, I had two of my best friends both live in Kansas City, and one of them, Elliot, was on the way, is actually supposed to be flying into New York today to spend the weekend up here, but his flight just got canceled because of winter weather. So shout out Elliot, who's been grounded in Kansas City, and shout out Daniel Riggs, who's also up in KC, who I talked to yesterday, and he'll be down for Thanksgiving, and shout out to the Riggs family, where I spend every Thanksgiving night with his family. So we'll do that. We'll keep those shout outs. Shout out Autumn. Shout out Dina. Shout out Skeet Fresh. There we go.
Love it. I like you got everybody in there.
Absolutely, man.
Well, fantastic. So, you're doing the holiday show. Any other fun holiday traditions you have? Not just for Thanksgiving, but any given holiday.
Well, so I just shouted out the Riggs family. That's my good buddy Daniel, his family. Every Thanksgiving evening, we meet at his parents' house. And, you know, the older we get, the cooler it gets, because Daniel's got an older sister who also went to Kickapoo. And so I've known her friends. I've known Allison's friends for most of my life. And they were all, like, the cool older kids, you know. And but what's cool about it is all of my friends meet at the Riggs house, and then all of her friends meet. So there's kind of multiple generations of people that meet every Thanksgiving and catch up. And, you know, I look forward to it every year. It's really cool. It'll be a nice full house, and we all get to catch up and see what we've been up to. And so, yeah, I would say that's definitely one of them.
It's a good tradition.
Yeah, man. And then I would say our major Christmas tradition, at least in my house, is we watch It's a Wonderful Life, and we watch National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. And
amen to that one.
Home Alone.
And amen to the National Lampoon's. And Home Alone is, of course, a classic. I'm a big Gremlins fan. I like to watch Gremlins and National Lampoon.
Ooh, Gremlins is a good call.
Absolutely. I mean, people forget it's a Christmas movie, but it takes place in Christmas.
Yeah, it is. That's a good point. Kind of like Die Hard is technically a Christmas movie as well.
And Batman Returns.
Ooh, yeah. I didn't even think about that one.
Yep. Yeah, that one lady dies on the Christmas tree.
That's right.
Yep.
Dang.
Well, what other Christmas movies are there? There's Mixed Nuts. That's a good one. Have you seen Mixed Nuts?
I've heard of it. I have not seen it, though.
Highly recommended. It was one of the, like, 17 VHS tapes I owned whenever I lived in the middle of nowhere growing up. And it's a very fun movie. Liev Schreiber, Adam Sandler, of course, Steve Martin, main character. It's got Madeline Kahn and Robert Klein. No, not Robert Klein. Yeah, Robert Klein is in that. Yes.
Nice. Mixed Nuts. I'll check that out for sure.
Yeah. A special cameo by Jon Stewart.
Wow. He did that a lot in the night. He's in
Half Baked?
Adam Sandler movie. What?
Oh, I thought you were going to say Half Baked.
Oh, yeah, he's in Half Baked. He's also in, was it Daddy's Boy? What's the name of the Adam Sandler movie where he has the kid that's not his?
Yeah, Big Daddy.
Big Daddy.
Yes. Yes, he is in that for sure. Yeah, he did a lot of those cameos. You're right.
Yeah, man. Miss Jon Stewart. He's a good man.
He is. He's raising goats and doing weird lecture tours with Dave Chappelle now.
Oh, that'd be a cool one to catch.
Yeah, it's my understanding it's more lecture than comedy, though.
Ah, that happens.
I mean, you can only get exposed to it so much before it sort of just becomes your thing.
Yeah, especially if you get into politics. I think if you devote that much of your life to politics, there's probably a certain point that you go, man, this is just getting hard to be funny. I'm feeling weighed down by this.
Yeah, I can barely do it watching them every week. You know, like I watch, you know, I got the YouTube videos. I watch Steve Colbert. I watch why can't I think of his name all of a sudden? From SNL, Seth Meyers. There we go. I watch Seth Meyers, and I watch the guy who's doing The Daily Show now, Trevor Noah.
Nice.
And it's a marathon to get through them and not be bummed at the end of it.
It's really hard these days, man. It's not, the news is not light. The news is very heavy. You're picking through some really heavy stuff, you know.
Well, let's go ahead and get into your bona fides in order to lighten the mood a little bit. How long have you been doing comedy, and where did you get started?
Let's see. I've been doing comedy for about a decade now, which is insane to say. But my first ever set was at the Outland in downtown Springfield.
Back when Murr was doing things?
With local legend Murr, yeah, man. So I had met Murr. I don't know if you remember the James Clary had a restaurant called Fish over on Battlefield. Do you remember it?
No, I believe I was in Los Angeles at the time.
Oh, yes, you would have been. So right over there where the Buffalo Wild Wings is on Battlefield and that little shopping center, right in the middle was a restaurant called Fish. I can't remember what it is now. But so I was in there one night, and at that point, you know, I had already told a couple buddies that I'd wanted to do stand-up, and, you know, I would write jokes and tell them to them at parties and stuff like that. And so we're at Fish, and my buddy comes over, and he's like, hey, man, guess what, dude? This guy over here is a comedian. You got to meet him. And he walks me over there, and it was Murr. And so through that conversation, Murr was like, yeah, man, if you're serious about doing stand-up, you know, he's like, I'm one of the only people doing it around here. I would love to have, you know, more comics and stuff. And he's like, if you know, here's my contact, and if you want to be serious about it, let me know. And so I hit him up, and my friends kind of pressured me into being like, do it. And so, yeah, I met Murr over at the Outland for a music open mic, and did my first 4-minute set there, and was pretty much hooked on the spot.
Now, your story has some holes in it. Like, for instance, Murr hanging out at some random bar. That doesn't sound like the Murr I know.
This is a young, spry Murr.
Sure. No, absolutely. That's a total joke. Slam on.
And as I recall, I think the reason that we went to Fish on Wednesday night, they had some insane drink special back then. It was like, you know, it was one of those only in Springfield, you know what I mean? Where it was like a quarter for a pint double liquor cocktail, you know, something crazy.
I remember whenever I was in college, what is now the front of house, it used to be the High Life, had one night, I don't remember if it was one night a week or one night a month, but you would go and you'd pay $2 or some nonsensically low fee. You'd get one of those crappy plastic cups, and as long as you had that plastic cup, you would get it refilled for nothing.
Oh, yeah, dude. Ray's Lounge. Ray's Lounge had, what, penny pitchers or some craziness?
Yeah, this town likes its booze, for sure.
Yeah, man, and they like to keep it nice and affordable, baby.
That's right. Well, speaking of nice and affordable, nice affordable comedy can be had this weekend with Kenny DeForest is going to be at the Blue Room. Now, you've been traveling about doing comedy. People can go online. I've been having people kind of tell us their secret bio, because people can go online and see your comedy bio, you know, the way you present yourself to the people who book you. But what's your secret bio? Like, what are the really cool things that you've done that you don't think would seem cool to somebody who wasn't there or doesn't know where you're coming from?
Well, I would say one thing, a chapter that's coming to a close, actually, this, as we're recording it, it'll be this weekend. If this comes out Monday, I guess it'll be yesterday. But Sunday will be my last Sunday as co-host of Comedy at the Knitting Factory here in Brooklyn and Williamsburg. And it was a show that was started by comedian Hannibal Buress, who a lot of people know and love. AKA the man who started the man who wrote a joke so funny that it brought Cosby down. Also Eric Andre's show, and yeah, people know Hannibal. I don't really need to, I'm sure I don't need to tell too many people who he is, but so when Hannibal was writing for Saturday Night Live, he wanted a weekly stand-up outlet, because, you know, that job is very demanding and it really takes up a lot of your time. And so he started this Sunday weekly stand-up show really just to give him a place to try new jokes and stuff. And as he got more famous and really, you know, when he was on, he plays Lincoln on Broad City, if you still don't know who he is. I would say that's probably his most notable role.
I think everybody listening into this comedy podcast is pretty familiar with Hannibal Buress.
Yeah, I think I probably oversold. I probably gave about three too many examples, which really is a comedy kryptonite. You know what I mean? Like word economy. What am I doing? But so Hannibal started this show, and as he got more famous, and like I said, when he booked Broad City and was on that show, it really took him to a new level, and the show kind of grew with him. And then as he got more and more busy, he just didn't have the time, so he handed the show off to me and two of my best friends, Will Miles and Clark Jones, both out of Chicago, and then we all moved to New York together 5 years ago. So anyway, long story short, man, it's been a really good run, and we've been at the helm of I'm biased, but what many consider to be one of the best shows in the whole world. I mean, it is truly one of the best shows in New York City, and I guess by default, if you're one of the best shows in New York City, you're one of the best shows in the world. And it's just been a really cool experience, man, co-hosting and getting to perform for a truly international, hip comedy crowd every week has been a blessing beyond what I can really count and properly give gratitude for. But it's been really amazing, and we've been at the helm for, like I said, 4 years, and you know, we're just hitting a point where we'd like to be able to travel more and focus on our own careers and be on the road and not really be tethered to New York City on a weekly basis. And so we've decided to hand the show off to a triumvirate of three young ladies that are all super, super funny. And Sydney Washington, Marie Faustin, and Amina Amani. Make sure you watch out for them. They're all great. But yeah, we're going to be, as of the time that this podcast comes out, they will have taken over my old show and on to new green pastures. But it's been a really cool experience, and I would definitely say cooler than most people would understand, to fit your question.
Oh, I absolutely imagine. That was something as less elucidory, but in Los Angeles, I would host a regular show. It moved around some venues, but the longest running venue was at a Irish pub. And for some reason, it was not a typical Los Angeles show in as much as people actually showed up to it. And it was one of those things that it is rare. And when I finally had to put a kibosh on the show, it's called Uzi Rat. And when I finally had to put the kibosh on it, I don't know. It was there was a little something in my eye.
Oh yeah, man. You get attached and it's sad. And you know, Dave Chappelle performed on that show while I was hosting it. If anybody listening has seen photos of me with Dave Chappelle on the internet and been like, "How the hell did that happen?"
A Knitting Factory.
When Kevin Hart was hosting Saturday Night Live, Chappelle was in town supporting, and I think it was actually the week before Chappelle hosted and did that monologue about Trump, because it was right after the election. And so my good friend is one of Chappelle's road openers. Her name is Joyelle Johnson, another great comic. She just did Seth Meyers, if you guys are looking for an internet clip to watch. So Joyelle was like, "Hey, Dave's in town. Should I see if he wants to do your show?" And we were like, "Are you out of your mind? Of course." And so she did. She hit him up and sent him a photo of the room all packed out. And he was like, "That looks good." And then he actually came, man. And it was one of the coolest experiences of my life. And he went up there and did an hour. And it was, you know, you say Jon Stewart and him are doing more lecture than comedy now. That night, it was an unbelievable blend of both, where it was one of the most informative things I've ever seen and one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And it was right after one of the many strings of unarmed black men being killed by police. And one of them happened in Staten Island. His name was Eric Garner. It was one of the bigger cases. It was the guy that was selling loose cigarettes and then got choked out.
Right.
And so Chappelle is doing our show. I think on a Friday, a grand jury decided not to indict the cop that killed Eric Garner. And then there was protests. And and tensions were high, and obviously it was a very emotional thing, and Chappelle started talking about it, and this girl, I would describe her as a very privileged hipster girl, shouted out in the middle of his set. She said, "Life's hard, sorry about it," in a very dismissive tone. And I watched Chappelle handle that with about as much grace as you could expect somebody to, especially given that he's black and has put up with this shit his whole life. And then you have a girl go, well, life's hard, deal with it, you know. And he instead of getting angry, he very calmly began to educate her on the history of black folks with the cops in this country, and tied it all in with apartheid. And man, it was really, really one of the craziest things I've ever seen. He told a story about getting pulled over drunk driving, and the cop was kind of incensed that Chappelle seemed nervous to interact with him. The cop was like, "Hey, man, you can relax. I know who you are." You know what I mean? And so Chappelle gets out of that. He gets out of the DUI because the guy's like, "I'm a huge fan of your show, huge fan of yours, you know, whatever, keep going." And the next week, the cop that let him go that night shot and killed. If you remember one of the stories where a guy was in a Walmart holding a toy BB gun that was for sale in the Walmart, like he was literally just looking at it, and a cop came in and shot and killed him. I don't know if you saw that, but the cop that did that was the cop that let Chappelle go with the DUI. Ooh. And it was really wild. And at the end, he was just like, "So I guess my point is, if you're a black person and you want to survive an encounter with the police, you shouldn't have to be Dave Chappelle." And it just, like, leveled the room. And after the show, the girl came back and apologized to him. And she was like, "Thank you so much for being patient with me and educating me. And I just want you to know that I listened to you. And I feel embarrassed. And I totally get it now. And I'll never say something so ignorant again." And he said, you know, with all the grace in the world, he said, "Look, you don't have to apologize to me. I'm glad you did, but thank you for listening. That's all I can ask for. You've done your part, and now you're part of the change, because now you know, and now you can't pretend like you don't know."
But I did want to let everybody know where they can find you or follow you online if you would like them to do so.
Yeah, it's just my name at everything, KennyDeForest.com.
All right, hey, Kenny, congratulations. Thanks so much for coming out this weekend. Can't wait to have you there. It's going to be a blast. If nobody's seen Kenny, then you should really rectify that situation. He is hilarious and always puts on a good show.
Yeah, come out, man. The shows are always a lot of fun, man. We keep it light. We keep it fun. And it's going to be a good time. So come out to the Blue Room this weekend.